Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're talking pickups and grading two-star starters for the week of May 23rd, 2022 here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola, and we are going to be doing our two-star pitcher thing as usual on the show. But Todd, I saw we have a snow out today. That's crazy. I remember some snow outs over the years, like in April maybe, first week of the season, but I can't remember any snow outs in Colorado or elsewhere this late into the season.
Especially, it was, 87 degrees in Colorado yesterday? It was 90 in April? It's just nuts. So
I think it's supposed to be hot again tomorrow,
too. Yeah. I mean, the elevation, yeah, whatever. I mean, but, gets the slate, the game off the DFS slate early enough that, you know, we can adjust and, hey, you know, it gives us something to talk about.
Yeah, just kind of a funny –
ugh, crazy.
Just strange thing. I was fed up here in Wisconsin and in Madison here like a month ago. It was still snowing. I couldn't imagine still to this day, but just kind of a wacky, weird thing to add to the list of weird things we're seeing this season. How are you, though, today on this Friday afternoon?
Doing well. I blew a fuse in my new place and having trouble getting a hold of my landlord, so other than that, are fine. So I don't have my overhead lighting. I look even goofier than normal, but we'll make it work. I got the fridge plugged into an alternate circuit. So bozo me using the microwave and the air fryer at the same time. I tested it out and it was fine. But last night it kind of blew it. So hopefully the landlord will get my note at some point.
Well, last I'd talked to you, was going pretty well, so I'm sorry that snag popped up.
But, that's fine. I mean, whatever. I'm just kind of, if I couldn't get the fridge to work, then I'd be a little bit more concerned. But it's all, I'm paying electricity now, so it saved me a little money. So basically, all it means is it's a little bit darker at night, and I can't have the TV on as I'm, you know, in the bedroom. So I'll be fine.
Well, that's good, man. I want to wish you a happy Nolan Gorman day. He was actually already stashed in the RotoWire Stake League, so he was not among the pickups last night. But I know James has some concerns about the K rate, so we'll just have to see how he adjusts.
You know what else? For those who know what else this weekend is?
What is it?
It's not the quarter pole weekend for all that celebrate.
That's right. It's a classic Toddism that it's not actually the quarter pole.
It's not just me. It's not just me that jumps on that. But yeah, I'll have
the
that
final tweet. Quarter is the quarter pole, right?
Yeah, the final quarter mile. So yeah, depending upon the length of the race, and I'm not even a horseman, but or four horsemen.
Four horsemen.
Yeah, there we go. But I'll tweet that out tonight because teams are approaching 38 to 40 games, so we'll just get it out there.
We need a new Four Horsemen faction, I think, in wrestling. But looking at last night's stake pickups, again, Nolan Gorman was already rostered. So in this league, we can't stash prospects, and he was already stashed. But Garrett Cooper picked up. Miggy Cabrera seems like people just filling holes mostly. But then Nick Pivetta, man, he's been great. And I'm trying to implement the Robbie Ray rule, like never say never with a guy. I've been down this road many times, so I'm kind of like I have to fight it a little bit. I kind of want to just write him off and chalk it up as a fluke. But three straight quality starts, went nine innings against Houston, no less, two-hitter. What are you seeing as a Red Sox fan? Does this look sustainable at all? Is this a turned corner for Nick Pivetta?
I think we've seen signs of this before. It's not sustainable. However, you know, where's the fall? Is it a hard fall or is it a soft fall? And I don't know. I honestly don't know at this point. I haven't done a deep dive and I've had the sound on the past few. I usually listen with the sound off, watch with the sound off. But honestly, because I've been mispronouncing names, I've been listening to the game so I can at least hear some names and just kind of roughing it as far as trying to do work with noise as opposed to, you know, talking as opposed to music. But anyway, to me, I guess if I was uninterested previously, I'm now interested in the streaming realm. I don't know that he's an automatic guy yet. Still, I do need to look under the hood and check to see new pitches, this, that, the other thing. But Red Sox fan, I'm, you know, nice. It's a welcome shot in the arm to a staff that needs help. As a fantasy analyst, I think it's a bit of a trap, but still streaming realm. I don't think he has two this week or next week, so we won't. I don't think we'll have to go down that road.
Yeah, he
does.
Had Pivetta rostered many times throughout the years, and James and I had him on our main event team a couple years ago, and it's been a pain, but I love to see over his last four outings, Pivetta has issued a total of one walk. So, I mean, that's great. I'd love to see the trust in the stuff.
He does have a two-step, so we'll save it a little bit. But yeah, no, we will have to discuss Mr. Pivetta a little bit more. And it's actually it's a pretty good one too. The White Sox in Baltimore. So
yeah, that is pretty good. I think off the cuff, I'd say four. But
yeah,
can get around.
We'll make it official momentarily.
Alexis Diaz picked up, little brother of Edwin Diaz. Looks just like him in the face. It's crazy. And I was kind of interested, but then he pitched in the eighth, and yesterday things were pretty sloppy for Alexis Diaz. Tony Santillan got the save. So I would probably recommend just laying hands off of this one because Lucas Sims could be back sometime too. And
maybe NL only, right? I don't think.
Alexis has been good all year, but
yeah, maybe NL only. I don't think he's at this point anything more than that. Yeah.
Eli White, an $8 pickup. Did you grab Eli White last weekend in the NFBC anywhere for the steals?
Yep, I did. I absolutely did. And I think I wrote you guys a note. You guys were asking me to help out with the back end. And I said, I will, as soon as I put Eli White in my DFS lineup. And sure enough, I got him in there against Syndergaard. And nice. In the first inning, boom, got a steal. So, yeah, I wrote a little bit about stolen bases this week in the Z-Files. And I do like Eli White for that. Yeah.
Picking on Thor when it comes to steals is pretty much gold. I feel like that guy cannot stop posing base runners.
It used to be if you got on base, you could run. Now it's when you get on base. I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but he has given up some base runners too. At least more
not
than
the three. Exact same guy he used to be, but yep, still love to see him. I know he had that really rough outing the other day, but I'm glad to see Thor healthy and active.
Sure.
Moose, Mike Moustakas, James picked up for 30, needed a Joey Wendell replacement at third. So, you know, I think Moose is a lot better. His baseline's higher than he showed earlier this season, but just kind of a fill in, not a guy I expect James to roster for a prolonged period.
Yeah, and Wendell turned out to be Wendell, it's not just a ho-hum replacement. Wendell's playing really, really well.
Did he get hurt though with Joey Wendell? I think he might have.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah, he did.
Okay, yeah. So that's why James said he picked him up. Okay, Chase Silseth I got for only six. I think James was so focused on hitting that he let me, you know, Silseth might have slipped under his radar. Maybe he just, I don't know, I didn't look at, like, the backup bids. But I expected to get outbid on Silseth, but I got him for six. Gets Oakland again, and, you know, maybe the second time you see an order, maybe they're a little more in tune with what you're throwing. Maybe they pick up on things a little better. But I'm going to deploy him right away for that second outing against Oakland.
And in this league, you get him, if he stays in rotation, you get a double dip from him, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, on CBS, he's just listed for one. But, yeah, because this is Friday through Thursday. So if he does stick around, it would be two.
Yeah, how about that?
That could be pretty nice. Good things that we saw in his debut. Six innings, only one hit allowed. Only four Ks, but I will pick on that Oakland team when I can.
Yep.
Matthew Liberatore, along with Nolan Gorman, Liberatore is coming up for St. Louis, I think starting tomorrow, right? So I don't know exactly how he stacks up with guys like Kirby and others, but definitely on the radar immediately now that he's in the big leagues.
Good team, good park, great defense. You got to be interested. You know, in Kirby's shown, you know, granted the last outing was against the Red Sox, you know, good. Now they're hitting anyway. You know, let's temper expectations, but yeah, it's certainly a good context, good team context.
Absolutely. Ben Gamel, Cole Calhoun picked up. Guys filling some needs here. Jose Iglesias, Jonah Heim, Cole Irvin. Clay Holmes has been great. It's kind of a sneaky pickup, especially because he's got like three saves already, right? So,
yeah.
Like that one as a
– he's emerged.
Where he's still available. Go grab him.
And Chad Green is out, right?
Yeah, that's right. Chad Green got hurt. So, good call there. And he's just been a revelation, Clay Holmes. So, good on him. And this is only a one-catcher league, but MJ Melendez got picked up, and I'm kind of – kicking myself because I need power, and while I have a pretty solid catcher in Alejandro Kirk, man, I could see slotting Melendez into one of those two UT spots we have in that league, and because he's going to be playing a lot, so
yeah,
with that power, I think he's an add in pretty much every league.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, it's kind of surprised he's available, just even in a one catcher league, because I'm not even sure he's going to play more now. It's just he's going to play more catcher now.
Yeah,
he was playing a lot elsewhere, and this just helps those in keeper leagues have Melendez get to that 20 game mark that much faster.
Absolutely. Over in Derek Van Riper's Mocky League, Danny Jansen was still out there in the two catcher league, so he went for 12. I got Silseth there for 8 as well. Eli White, 7. Kind of a quiet week. Brendan Donovan, though, I saw he's starting today even with Nolan Gorman up. And one guy who wasn't picked up, but he was on my waterfall, and I'm excited to make a run at him again next week because I'm rebuilding. Isaac Paredes, two-homer game against his old team, classic revenge game. We've had some revenge games this week with Tyler Naquin.
All right, is this,
going
this
crazy
is,
against Cleveland?
This is DVR's league.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what DVR's position as far as where he's playing, but I'm going to whisper this just to you, so only you hear. DVR likes Paredes.
Oh, man. So I'm going to be fighting him next week. Huh?
Well, just be aware.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like, I mean, I'm glad I got Silseth, but I almost kind of wish I'd had another drop listed for Paredes so I could have grabbed him. But yeah, two homers against Detroit, making them miss what they let go not too long ago. So yeah, I like Isaac Paredes. Anything else on your mind today, Todd, before we get into next week's two start pitchers?
I mentioned it briefly. I got a new piece up on the sorry about the honking horn outside.
That's all right.
They're coming to get me. I put a piece this week on RotoWire about stolen bases, everything you need to know about streaming stolen bases. RotoWire.com/free for those of you that don't subscribe. Why don't you? 10-day free trial, right, Clay? No credit card required initially. And if you like it, if you dig it, then we ask for your stuff. But no tracking devices, no nothing for the first 10 days. And you know, we're confident enough that if you not just my stuff, but if you get it, if you subscribe, that it'll be worth your while for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm confident you will like what we provide. And if not, then you don't need to sign up. But
there you go.
I think if you give us a shot, you will like what we provide. And our projected starters grid would be included with that as well. And before we get into those projected starters, I will just say one more thing. I pulled a trade yesterday in this Derek Van Riper Hockey League. Traded Dylan Carlson for Tanner Houck on a 3A contract. So I'm pretty darn happy about that. And you love it when you acquire a guy, then you turn on the game and he's just dominating. Like, I thought Houck looked outstanding last night out of the bullpen. So seems like maybe he's stretching back out to a full starter's workload. Either way, I like Houck quite a bit as a long-term piece. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I would just – I mean, I agree. But you kind of danced around it. Just like to know what especially this year, what his role is. Because I think part of the lower strikeout rate is just because he's been jumping between starting and long relief and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, opener and primary pitcher. Love the arm. And for a keeper league, I think it's fantastic. I just, you know, I've got him in the XFL in a 1 year, you know, well, it's a keeper league, but I need to know what to do with him this year. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wish the Red Sox fan, I understand what they're doing and I actually like it, but as a fantasy manager, it's driving me nuts because I think it's hurting his, performance.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it's not the most fantasy-friendly role right now, but I do really like Tanner Houck. And the announcers for that game were cracking me up because they were saying, you know, Houck should go to Hollywood and star in like a Western movie. He could be the villain or the hero. So he does kind of have that, like, who was the guy in Tombstone? Val Kilmer. He kind of looks like Val Kilmer in Tombstone. Not so sweaty, but kind of looks like him in the face. All right, let's get into the two-star pitchers for next week, the week of May 23rd. Not the quarter pole, but almost 2 months into the season now. Zach Davies versus Kansas City versus the Dodgers. I can't see it at all with Davies. I mean, Kansas City is a nice matchup, but LA is on the other side of the coin, and I'm going to give him a zero.
Yeah, I am too. We can save the ghosting jokes for elsewhere. You know what? I think at this point, this seems like a Stephen Wright joke. Every time that I hit the mute button on my microphone so you don't hear the horns, it goes off. And then when you want me to talk, I hit the mute button back on, and the horn starts again.
The horn starts playing.
So I think I'm controlling the horn outside. Anyway, all right, yeah, Davies.
Somebody's
zero.
Pulling a mean joke on you.
I mean, I hear this a lot because you know I live in a I'm on up a main street and someone bumps a car or you know whatever, but it usually just lasts 3 or 4 seconds and it goes away. This is like, it's like I think maybe someone hit a car, you know, and it just the owner isn't aware. Can I say owner when I talk about a car?
Yeah,
the car manager.
The car's manager is fantasy. Yeah. Hope everything's okay. But yeah, it's not a big.
Well,
it actually sounds like it just stopped. So
it did, but
for the time being.
All right. We shall see. Anyway, it's not the important thing is it's not my car.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
All right.
Tucker Davidson.
Yeah.
Man, good outing against Milwaukee, but I have a hard time buying into that. A 5 scoreless inning showing there. 3-3 K to walk, and there it goes again, Todd.
Yeah,
we spoke it back into existence. But I just as many walks as K's, and it had some prospect pedigree. But I'm going to give Tucker Davidson a 0-2.
All right, microphone back on. I'm going to give him a 1. I know Philly's. I know Philly's tough. By the end of the week, it's early in the week, I believe that he's got Philadelphia. I assume Harper will be back after getting the PRP. Maybe he'll be back this weekend, but I'm gonna give him a 1. Give him a 1.
Okay. And then Max Fried for me is probably not quite that 5 level, but he's a high end 4 for me.
I think he may. There's a lot of good to start starters this week. Now we got the sirens coming, so this is a really good day. For those of you who like to pick apart and criticize, not what we talk about, but what else you hear, you're gonna have a field day. I got Fried in the 5s. I got him a top 10 pitcher this week. Okay. I think he's there.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe I'm not giving him enough love, but I'll stick with 4 for now. Jordan Lyles and Bruce Zimmerman. Got to go to the Bronx to start the Nat Boston. Tough for both guys. So, you know, I think I'm actually going to give both a 0.
I am too. Yeah.
I don't think I could start either one.
Yep. The Red Sox, as we expected, have kind of turned it back on again. And the Yankees are just, you know, they're just playing tough. You know, they don't go on or off. They're always on.
Yeah. They've been steamrolling people Judge looking like an MVP and,
yeah,
Giancarlo playing well, and that rotation's been great too. So,
yep.
I was actually asking Jeff yesterday on the XM show. I said, I would still think maybe the Dodgers are the World Series favorites, but do you think maybe the Yankees have leapt the Dodgers as at least should be favorites?
Based upon what we've seen so far, sure, I'll answer yes. Actually, I think it was the MLB Network. They had an interesting question. Do we think, you know, what are the, was it with fair or foul? I believe it was the fair or foul segment. Fair or foul, there will be the World Series will consist of teams from only Los Angeles and only New York. Hmm. Obviously the Angels, Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets. You know, if I'm a betting man, I'm taking the field just because. It's, you know, it's just a safer bet. But you know what? That's not a bet. That was a good question. Because you can make an argument that if it's not the Yankees, it's going to be, you know, the Angels. If it's not the Dodgers, it's going to be the Mets.
Yeah, I think that'd be great for the game. I mean, obviously with, you know, the Reds aren't going anywhere, so I don't really have a rooting interest. But I think, you know, those big market, huge matchups are good for the game and drawing ratings. So.
That's maybe, true, but I
maybe think Yankees Dodgers wouldn't be so bad.
But I mean, I think from a non-marketing point of view, I'm trying to think of a small market team that's competing pretty, you know, call it, I guess, Milwaukee. But a Milwaukee Tampa Bay World Series would be great for baseball, you know, to show that other teams can make it.
True, maybe not so good for World Series ratings.
Right. Right.
Wouldn't be bad. I just, you know, there's kind of that misconception out there that super teams are bad for the game and dynasties. That's, I think, been proven wrong many times. So
absolutely.
I'm not against a big market World Series this year. Nick Pivetta, who we talked about as a top pickup this week at the White Sox versus Baltimore, as you said. So I'm going to give him a 4. Is that about right?
All right, you know what? He comes out as a 3 for me, but I have not downloaded or uploaded all of the information, which includes recent performance, which is going to elevate him. So I'm going to say that he's going to get enough of a boost to be a low end 4. Yeah.
Yeah, and as you alluded to, it wasn't just that 9-inning 2-hitter. He's
right.
Strong pretty good stretch here. 3 straight really strong outings for Pivetta. Yep. Drew Smyly at the Reds, at Chicago White Sox. So a couple tough pitching venues, not the toughest offenses right now, but 1-5, team's bad. So I'm gonna give Smyly a 0. I don't want to get sucked into that.
I have him as a 0. It would not surprise me when I make my adjustments if he's a 1. And that's probably because I'm a Smyly sucker and would maybe start him.
Tyler Mahle's been getting on track lately. Thank goodness. We knew he was a lot better than he showed earlier, but back-to-back quality starts. Both on the road, though, so still got his home issues to worry about. Both are at home, but versus the Cubs and Giants, even in light of his home-road splits, I think you're turning him loose here. So I'm going to give him a 4, even with his struggles so far.
Yeah, I got a 3. I got a 3. San Francisco's just so pesky.
They are scary. They're annoying, too, because they called up Luis Gonzalez. He was great. I picked him up in a league or two with Colorado coming up, and then they sent him back down. So they just.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that Brandon Belt didn't take advantage of Coors like he did last year, although he should have at least one more trip. I don't know that I lost money. I didn't win as much because I did pretty well during that weekend. I think that means I kind of broke even. when I say I did well in DFS, I didn't take down any tournament. Although I did get a free RotoWire online championship for next year.
In the Fan Bowl.
Don't tell Peter. I still want to represent the site.
We'll get you a beat league.
Yeah. Yeah, but
that's good, man. That's no small chunk of change.
No, and it was fun. Yeah, but anyway, Tyler Mahle, I'm going to give him. I'm still going to go 3.
Nice. Unrelated, but did you have any thoughts on Royce Lewis getting sent down? Because I was telling James, I'm not going to raise a big stink about it. But isn't that kind of what you dream of when you're an organization? You promote a top prospect, like not having to send him down because of performance. They just sent him down anyway. Like
what I want to, I'm going to prescient here. I have a suspicion that Eric Halterman and I will talk about him tomorrow on the MLB Network radio show, which I think a little early tomorrow. It's at 1 p.m. We may or may not have recorded it already and talked about Royce Lewis. I want to see where Lewis plays his first few games back. I think our note in the site said we expect him to play mostly shortstop. If he's playing mostly short or all shortstop, to me, it just means they want him to keep playing. If he's moving around, to me, it means that the Twins organization, Lewis wants to, get him familiar with some other positions and have him back up again. The sticking point is Carlos Correa has, as you know, is an opt out each of the next 3 seasons. Right. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure Lewis is ready to play shortstop, but you also want to be ready. I don't think you're hoping Correa leaves, right? So, and he's not moving off shortstop. He's too good a defender. So I think at least this year, it's kind of, I don't know if it's a catch 22, but it's kind of a hairy scenario. Having said that, DH is certainly open.
Miranda's really been struggling. And I get that, long-term, you probably want Lewis to be at short still, but don't you want him helping the team this season?
I think if Minnesota is still contending, which I expect them to be in a little while, I think we'll see Lewis back Minnesota will find ways to get him in the lineup. I don't think they want to mess with his, a little bit of Bobby Witt, where Kansas City moved to third and now moved him back to shortstop. I think they see him as a shot. I'm not as familiar with his defensive chops as James might be, but, or James is, I should probably, not might be, is. But that's my take, is they prefer to have him playing every day at shortstop. But if they're competing, you know, they got to bring him up sooner than later. If I have him in the NFBC, I'm not dropping him just to drop him and get a replacement. If I need that seventh spot, I will drop him, but I'm holding him because I don't know. You're kind of hinting he may not be down long.
Exactly. I'm holding him where I can. I advise doing the same unless you know, injuries are really forcing your hand.
But, right.
Yeah, I had to swap him out of my stake league lineup. Plugged in Joey Votto, but honestly, I think I'd rather have Royce Lewis right now than Joey Votto in my lineup.
This is around the time that Votto took off last year.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
I'm not saying he will, but the potential, you know, we've seen what can happen in another, you know, whatever it might be, 120 games.
Yeah, I'm hoping for better to come.
Yep.
We'll have to see. And he seems confident, Joe. I saw he tweeted something like in response to a Fangraphs article, like 5 months still to go.
Wait and
see. But that was a couple weeks ago now.
So. Yeah.
For Cleveland, Zach Plesac, Cal Quantrill. I wrote up Cal Quantrill's rap note the other day, yesterday, I guess, when he faced the Reds. And, you know, the surface results are not bad at all, but 25 strikeouts and 41 in the third innings. Bottom 10 strikeout rate among qualifiers. At Houston, at Detroit. I guess the at Detroit makes Quantrill a one for me, but I'm actually going to go zero on Plesac.
I've got Plesac as a one, and I've got Quantrill in the three range. That Houston game is a bit scary. It might just be that my strikeout rate hasn't caught up yet with Quantrill, that I may need to take a real look at that to see, you know, do I think the Quantrill will correct it himself or is there something going on there? So I'm going to tentatively give him a three, but it could be moved down to a two by post time.
Yeah. He's overcome the lack of dominance so far, but just a lot up to chance when you allow that much contact,
and right?
Variance,
or
good and bad,
or you start to gain dominance. So that's the way to fend off the inevitable regression, is to improve the skills. I'm looking it up as we speak, checking out the swinging strike rate. Yeah, that's down to 7.3, and to be honest, the previous 9.3 wasn't all that fantastic. And then we were falsely led to believe the previous strikeouts, even though 7.28 per nine isn't all that great. Even if we were to get back to last year's mark, that's still below average.
Yeah, and you've kind of beat the drum that, you know, you can outpitch your peripherals until you can't. So it's a nice story for Quantrill over the past few years. Yeah. That's
and great. The point being, I'm going to, what do you think, Zola? You know what? I don't see a huge leap in strikeouts to, you know, I think I see a moderate one, but I'm kind of with you in that. I think I just don't think that he's had enough innings for my system to completely penalize him too much.
Because it is still modest sample.
Maybe it's time to accelerate it just a tad. We'll see.
Now, Kyle Freeland's on the road for two at Pittsburgh, at Washington. So maybe we'll have to have Freeland on a waterfall, begrudgingly. But remember, this is a guy who actually struggles quite a bit away from court. So I think I'll give him a one to match like Quantrill, but I'm not going higher than that.
I have him in the zero range, but I'm with you in that if I was really desperate for a starter, he would be, because of the away starts, he would be in mind. It may just be that I need to increase the amount of expected innings.
Yeah, it could blow up in your face, and I don't recommend doing it, you know, a lot of spots, but I could see myself somewhere where I have like, probably not Scherzer. Probably aim higher in the leagues where I have Scherzer. Maybe
it's more of a head-to-head scenario where you feel you need more starts this week. I don't know if I'm taking the chance in Roto.
Maybe in like a 15 team where I'm down like Lodolo and maybe
maybe
I lost. Still stashing Boz in a league or two. I'll give him a complimentary one. Nobody for the White Sox. They have two offers next week. And then for the Detroit Tigers, Joey Wentz. I feel like I've heard that name before, but not a guy I'm considering. Zero for me.
Yeah, Wentz was up earlier in the year. Either that or we thought he would be up earlier in the year, but he's one of my lowest ranked pitchers on the board. So, no, it's a no.
Luis Garcia of Houston. I think I have my first five of the week because that's been great. A couple of shaky, but some outings earlier in the year we had low strikeouts. Those ratcheted up and versus Cleveland at Seattle, pretty nice matchup. So he's my first five of the week.
I'm going to go pretend that no one's listening for a second, Clay. You are going in and out on me. I don't know if it's your internet or not. Is anybody watching on Facebook that can give us a hand if it's what's going on?
Sorry to hear that, Todd. How are you? How are you hearing me now?
A little bit better, I think. But exactly, it might be on my end. But anyway, I've got Garcia. No, actually, it's
media computer.
It's still rough on my end. So. Just want to let you know. All right, let's pretend that no one heard us talk about that. I got Garcia as the fourth overall pitcher this week, so he's a five. A lot of good two-starters this week too.
Thanks for bearing with me, and sorry, we're getting a new media computer in here, but I think this media computer is just so full of podcasts and radio shows that it's kind of slowed down the process. Zach Greinke, man, such an anomaly with the low Ks, but at Arizona, at Minnesota. I guess I'll give Frankie like a one, but how much does he really help me with those low Ks? I don't think I can go higher than a one.
Yeah, our friend Rob Silver. We seem to quote one of Rob's tweets every week, one of his more lighthearted tweets. He's for a while Greinke was trending towards setting a record for success with the lowest strikeout rate, but he fanned a few batters this week. So Rob's like, he's gonna have to really try to get that strikeout rate back down again if he wants to, whatever, set the record. Obviously tongue in cheek. You know what? I don't think you can judge Greinke. It's just when you think he's going to do well, he could stink, and he still has enough in that little bag of tricks of his for a vice versa. So I'm gonna give him a one, but I hope I don't have to make that decision anywhere because he's just like a knuckleballer at this point, right? He's just up there flipping the ball up there, and some days he's going to do well, and some days he's going to get crushed.
Yeah, I have him in a draft champions league, and I have a ton of pitcher injuries, but even there I'm like, how can I swap this guy out? Like, I'm constantly looking to get him out, but one league where I just kind of have to. By the way, we have a comment in the chat from Glenn. It said nice reports. Also wondering if I could post the player names as we talk about them on the screen. I don't know how to do that, quite frankly, but I will include all of our pitcher grades in the show notes. And we'll you can check out rotowire.com/try.
And especially if we talk a little bit, if we go on about a player, we'll try to mention his name once or twice during the diatribe.
Absolutely. And again, rotowire.com/try for a 10-day trial on us. You can see all the latest news that we're talking about and the starters grid. No two-starters for the Angels, but then for the Dodgers, they got a full week. And they're down Kershaw, so maybe Ryan Pepio again later in the week. But the two starters for them are Tyler Anderson and Walker Buehler. Anderson's 4-0, but he's kind of been a little iffy lately. Buehler's strikeouts aren't that great, but he's got a 2.89 ERA. So I'm going to give Buehler a 5. Tyler Anderson, I'll give a 3.
So what we're saying is Buehler's outpitching his peripherals? He's never done that, except every year he's pitched.
Yeah.
I mean, the strikeouts are down, but I'm still in the five range. I've got Anderson as a zero, but looking at the teams again, actually Arizona is not the pushover offense that, sometimes we think they're not great, but they're not a pushover either. I'm going to give Anderson a one, but right now I've got him in the zero range, but maybe that'll adjust up when I do the final rankings.
Wow. Only a one, huh? So I got him as a 3, but you got a 1.
Yeah.
I actually dropped him last week in Tout Wars, but I may try to pick him back up.
Based upon that, I guess I need to do it. I mean, we're definitely at the point of the season where, and Jeff and I are doing this for the site projections, where we have to reevaluate our baseline. For instance, we looked at, or Jeff looked at, Aaron Savali and Eliezer Hernandez. Peter Schenke pointed out that we're kind of rosy on our site projections, so we took a, Jeff took a look at them, and I was all, my system had already kind of downgraded them both. Jeff kind of caught up, and I think we're definitely at the point now where we do need to reevaluate our initial expectations.
Yeah, with Eliezer, I think it's time to downgrade him significantly. And I actually picked up Max Meyer. He was the guy I dropped Tyler Anderson for. Now Max Meyer's hurt, so it'll probably be a while. But still wonder if Eliezer's bumped at some point before long. A bump from that rotation.
It's a bevy of riches in that organization.
Yeah, they got Yuri Perez, 19 years old.
Edward Cabrera. Yeah,
Edward Cabrera, too. That's a good call. So on to that Miami team. It looks like because, you know, they're down Lizardo, and because Meyer's hurt, they're just going to go with four-man rotation for now with a couple off days. So that would leave Pablo Lopez in for two, and that's a five. He's like a Cy Young candidate.
That is a five, absolutely.
Early Cy Young candidate as long as his arm holds up.
It's a rough two-step, you know, at Tampa and at Atlanta. But, yeah, he's kind of matchup-proof at this point.
I agree with you. Adrian Hauser, Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns, an easy five. What do you make of Hauser at San Diego, at St. Louis? He hasn't been that bad, but I can only give him, you know, I think I'll give Hauser a two because he's like a step up from like the Greinke Freeland types for me.
Yep. No, it's, you know, the kind of a tough, it's a tough matchup. He's kind of a three pitcher, 2-3 guy with the matchup dependent at San Diego and at St. Louis. Hauser's down to a two.
And speaking of Milwaukee, I benched, who's that young arm they have?
Ashby.
I benched Ashby for that, like, four-inning save. Ugh, that really...
Well, he's kind of... We talked about Tanner Houck before. He doesn't have the Houck's been around an extra year, but he's kind of in that same boat, you know?
He's on that path of just kind of building up in the bullpen for now. Him and, like, Spencer Strider, those types.
Well, Strider, it sounds like Atlanta likes him, especially with Matzik out, at least for the next month. They like him in that setup role.
Yeah, I was thinking Strider transition to the rotation, but with Matzik out, they...
Yeah, he still might, but I had to adjust my own expectations for Strider because it does sound like that Atlanta wants to use him to set up with, like I said, with Matzik out. Anyway.
Yeah, I was kind of, you know, starting would be a friendly role for fantasy. If he's in that setup role, it's kind of dings his appeal, but I still like him quite a bit long term. Chris Archer, I don't see how I could start him. I'm picking this Minnesota team to win the division, but the pitching is a question. Devin Smeltzer already up. And Josh Winder's, you know, James was noting, dealing with some diminished velocity and some. His role's kind of up in the air, but anyway, Chris Archer's a zero for me.
Agreed. Even with the, is there a better than home against Detroit and home against Kansas City? There isn't a better matchup, and you know, I don't know that there's a better matchup, but that's a zero.
You know, I was about to say maybe I'll bump him up to a one, but he hasn't even gone five in a single start this year.
Right, that's kind of where I'm coming from too.
Yeah.
But
if he had gone five in one start, I probably would have bumped him up. But
you know what this means? You want some of the Minnesota relievers in this series?
Yeah, probably.
To vulture a winner, perhaps? Yeah. Some of the middle, especially when you mentioned Smeltzer. To me, if I have the spot, I don't have the names off the top, but I'm looking at some of the, you know, the middle relief guys in Minnesota to try to, you know, vulture a win this week.
Yeah, it's a smart play, I think. They got two of the worst teams in the American League on the docket this week.
Yeah, and they're at home,
The Mets lost Max Scherzer. That's a big blow for me in a couple leagues. I'm like in second in the FSGA league, but I'm losing Scherzer now. So tough pill to swallow. We'll see what the Mets do in the meantime. But they actually don't have any two-starters in our grid right now. But maybe Trevor Williams. If that's the case, I wouldn't consider him. He'd be a zero. But
right. I mean, Peterson.
David Peterson. Yeah, Peterson might be a pickup, even though he's on one start this week.
And he's not even on the team right now. He was sent down. Yeah. So depending on your league rules, you may or may not be able to pick him up if he's not up on Monday. And who's to say that they don't go in another direction, the Mets? But Peterson's still a streamer. But yeah, we'll see what the Mets end up doing. I mean, people are like, they're the Mets, they'll be fine. This is scary. When you're without Scherzer and DeGrom, that's scary.
And McGill?
And McGill. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, that's suddenly looking a lot more shaky in that rotation than they were a few days ago. Gerrit Cole, Jordan Montgomery. I got Cole as a five, obviously. And Montgomery, I'm going to give a four. Still looking for that first win, but he's been really good. Wins are a weird stat. Jason Klett had a great article about wins, by the way, at the site recently. Chasing wins.
It would certainly help Montgomery if New York left him in there another inning or so. I mean, they such a quick hook.
Yeah, that is
such a quick hook.
I guess they do have a silly bullpen, so that kind of makes
sense. I do have him in the five range, but I think it sounds like, I mean, it might. I'm going to keep him as a five. I may, if I overprojected his innings, he could drop. But Baltimore and Tampa, Tampa's obviously tough, but I'm going to keep it in the five range.
All right. So Oakland, James Caprillion, Dalton Jeffries. Kind of like, you know, what we saw from Caprillion last year. And Jeffries had some prospect pedigree at Seattle versus Texas. I think I'm going to give Caprillion a one, but then Jeffries a zero until I see more.
I've got Caprillion in the three range. I don't know if I'm confident about that. I'm going to say
like
three.
If this were last year's Caprillion, like no injury concerns, I could see it. But I need to get him a little bit more distance away from the injury.
That's probably what it is that it's based upon, it's very formulaic rank that has a pretty nice baseline. But I'm going to stick with it. Subject could change when I really look at it tonight when I dig in. But I got Jeffries in the two. I like the matchups. Good parks.
Philly and 0-3, you said.
Yeah, right? 3-2. Yeah.
Nice. And then for Philly, Zach Wheeler, Kyle Gibson at Atlanta, then at the New York Mets. So, you know, Wheeler's a five. Gibson, I just don't really like Gibson. So I guess I'll give him a two just to be fair, but
I like Gibson. I don't know what he's a nice guy. No, I'm just
he's probably
being silly. Yeah. I'm giving him a two as well. I don't, as a pitcher, I think we both have the same reservations. We're kind of going but yet saying two and not one or zero, which means he teases us without it. Good outing, you know, he's with the good outings, and we're afraid. It's almost like Kyle Gibson FOMO. We want to say one or zero, but we're saying two.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he has teased us, and another guy who's teased us, or at least me before, was JT Brubaker for Pittsburgh. And I see some K's, and I'm like, ooh, you know, missing some bats. And I pick him up, he gets rocked. So I've learned my lesson versus Colorado at San Diego. Not the worst matchups, but I can't go higher than like a one, and maybe that's high.
I've got him a zero, but it's like borderline one. So I'm gonna stick with a zero, but I can see where, again, contextually, if you need a double start this week for whatever, if that's your league, if you know head to head, I can see where you might want to go out and pick him up. I'm not picking him up in a roto league though.
Blake Snell's back, but some command issues stuff. I thought from what I saw looked okay, but. Three walks and 3 2/3 innings. Need to see him stretch out a little bit. But I could see, you know, given the second one's against Pitt at home, I could see, you know, even if you don't expect him to get a win in either of those, the total being worth deploying in some leagues. So I'll give him a one. But in most leagues, if I can, like in a 12, if I can spare it, if I can afford to wait on Snell, I would.
I've got him as a four, but I may be over-projecting the innings. Wow. I may want to calm that down a bit. What I want to check with Snell, and I don't think 3 1/3 is enough, and I wish I remembered exactly what he did, but he changed up his repertoire down the stretch last year.
Bag his changeup or something?
Yeah, I want to see exactly what he's maintained that change carrying over. But I got him as a four. I'm going to give him a three. And a lot of it does have, well, they're both at home, which helps a lot. Being the second one at Pittsburgh helps a real lot. Well, versus Pittsburgh helps a real lot.
Yeah, it's just Snell can be wild and loses mechanics sometimes. So, again, if I can afford to wait, I think ideally I would, but I'll give him a one. Yep. I got you down okay. As a three. Marco Gonzalez for Seattle versus Oakland versus Houston. So two home starts. Tough matchup in the nightcap. And talk about outpitching your peripherals.
He's a bit like Gibson, right? At least in our heads. He's kind of like, doesn't strike out a lot of guys, but darn, he's pitched some. He's a little bit better than Gibson, I think, but he's that same kind of guy where you can get blown up.
Yeah, I agree he's a little bit better than Gibson, but I'm going to actually give him the exact same grade as a two here because I'm just always kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to give him a three. Okay. I'll give him a three because I think he does give length. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, exactly. I mean, this is the pitch to contact guys that have some success. Marcus Stroman, these are all upper level. I mean, the same, you know, Stroman's at the top of this kind of clump of players, but they're always tough because especially, you know, we like our strikeouts and they're a category. So we have to like them, but they also help peripherals. They help skills. So giving him a three and just not watching that Houston game.
Alex Cobb's been a big disappointment for me. All those numbers are skewed by a recent seven run blow up for Alex Cobb. But I really thought, yeah, just appealing to authority with the Giants and that splitter. But versus the Mets at Cincinnati, where I have him, I'm going to be turning him loose. But I think I'll give Cobb, I think I have to give him a two.
All right. So Cobb's ERA is 5.61.
Yeah.
His expected ERA is 1.75.
Jeez.
His FIP is 2.67. Now, expected, I think, is a Statcast measure. His XFIP is 2.36. And his Sierra, as he searches Sierra, is 2.54. So depending upon which expected metrics and how much you believe in him, you know, his ERA is twice what it should be. Air quote, so, should be.
That's a really good note. Thank you.
394 BABIP. 49.7 left on base percent. These numbers are just, you know, all right, he's not pitching out of jams. Well, it's more than that. Strike, you know, the walk rate is, you know, I say it's high, but it's kind of where he's been the past couple of years, and he's got a career best strikeout rate. So I am looking for, there's going to be a correction, right? These are not the teams. You know, when I say correction, that's out of your control. So there's going to be a correction out of the control. But these are a couple of, well, the Mets anyway. A long-winded way of saying I'm giving him a three. And he is a buy low in general for me. Okay. Now, my friend, you were going so far in and out, I can't even hear you. Sorry.
Merrill Kelly, if I look somewhat human, but my list is a 1-6-8, right? First Toronto, first Milwaukee. Sorry, I didn't tell you these technical issues. Michaelis, I'm going to have to give a four.
I heard every other word and then heard give him a four.
Miles Michaelis.
Who are we talking about? Miles Michaelis? Yeah. Hopefully it's not this way over the air. Michaelis, he's just like the guys we were talking about, but he's, you know, a little bit better as far as the you know, the top of that no contact range. But he's been getting it done lately. Yeah, I'm gonna give him a 4.
Shane McClanahan a 5, right? He's
he's
looking like a potential first rounder next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna go.
Not
that
for you.
Yes. No, I agree.
Dane Dunning at the Angels at Oakland. I can't really see it, but maybe a 1. I'll give him a 1.
Could this be our biggest discrepancy? I'm giving him a 4.
Wow. Okay.
It could be just my expectations, and I know the Angels are hitting righties pretty good, but I'm gonna say 3. I think my 4 may be aggressive. I need to check how many innings I'm giving him, but I'm gonna say 3. But even that's, you know, a two spot differential is pretty high for us.
Yeah, no, that is, and yeah, I'm probably too low. You were maybe too high on the 4, so maybe find the middle ground there. Yeah. That team's terrible, and I mean Dunning's been impressive, but he is 1-2, and I just the Angels scare me, so I'm not going to
That's fair. That's fair. For sure. Yeah.
Here's an interesting one: Jose Berríos at St. Louis at the Angels. He's been one of the bigger disappointments so far this season. Berríos. He's not this bad, though, so I'm going to give him a 3. I can't really see sitting him down after I invested so much in him. So I know it's been tough, but, you know, if you sit him down, you're probably going to miss, like, 2 gems. So,
well, his last start was a gem. Well, it wasn't a gem. It was palatable. It was a nice – it was encouraging. No, I got him a 3 as well. And and I think we've talked about Berríos in that we can't point to an underlying metric and say he's been unlucky. He's deserved this mediocre start. Now, the question then is, do you trust 3 or 4 years of a solid track record versus 6 starts with a weird spring training? And I trust the track record. So I can't say, look at that swinging strike. Look at that changeup. I can't hang my hat on that. I just hang my hat on the fact he's done it before, and I think he'll do it again.
Yeah, I think it's largely been on the past track record and the fact that, you know, he can't be this bad. Any reason to consider either the Nationals 2-star guys? I mean, I guess Josiah Gray's been serviceable, but versus the Dodgers, versus Colorado, Yoan Adon's going to be a 0, but is Josiah Gray a 1 or even a 1?
Not a 1. He's not a 1. But it wouldn't surprise me if he pitched very well in one of those 2 games. I think he's still raw. I think Gray is still raw.
All right. Well, we'll recap these grades. Thanks again for bearing with me, Todd, on the technical difficulties. Sorry you have to deal with that. But
I've dealt with worse.
I'll either clear this media room computer or get a new one for next time. But not out of my own pocket. Zach Davies, 0. By the way, we're recapping our 2-star pitcher grades for the week of May 23rd, 2022. So Tucker Davidson, I got 0. Todd 1. Max Fried, I say 4. Todd 5. Jordan Lyles, 0. Bruce Zimmerman, 0. Nick Pivetta, 4. Drew Smyly, 0. Tyler Malley, I say 4. Todd 3. Zach Plesac, I say 0, Todd 1. Cal Quantrill, I say 1, Todd 3. Kyle Freeland, 1. Joey Wentz, 0. The Astros, Luis Garcia, 5. Zach Greinke, 1. Walker Buehler, 5. Tyler Anderson, I say 3, Todd only 1. Pablo Lopez, 5. Corbin Burns, 5. Adrian Hauser, 2. Chris Archer, 0. Garrett Cole, 5. Jordan Montgomery, I say 4, Todd 5. James Caprillion, I say 1, Todd 3. Dalton Jeffries, I say 0, Todd 2. Zach Wheeler, 5. Kyle Gibson, 2. JT Brubaker, I say 1, Todd 0. Blake Snell, I say 1, Todd 3. Marco Gonzalez, I say 2, Todd 3. Alex Cobb, 3, and a nice buy low. Miles Michaelis, 4. Shane McClanahan, 5. Dane Dunning, I say 1, Todd 3. Jose Berríos, 3. Yoan Adon, 0. And then Josiah Gray, 0. Anything else on your mind today, Todd, before we wrap things up?
It's, you know, we didn't talk about it because we talked about, you know, there's a nice threads on the, you know, the ball. There's so many weird things going on with the ball. It's got me awake at night, but I'm glad we didn't talk about it today.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't really think about that, but it was a good, you know, the physics of the baseball free discussion. So that's good. That'll be a topic that's beat to death, but it is a topic we have to break down. But thanks again, and hope the audio is not too bad for you all, and hope you'll join us again next week on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.